there may have been some great inflation in those European bank stress tests.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Bill Radke with The Morning Open. In just a moment, we're going to speak to an analyst about the story that's shaking confidence in the global economic recovery. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down about 50 points at this hour at 10,398. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both down a fraction of a percent. In Europe at this hour, stocks are down about 1% after a report in the Wall Street Journal said the recent stress tests on European banks understated the amount of risky debt that banks are still holding. That's where we'll begin our conversation with Julie Nieman, an analyst with Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So some doubt cast on the accuracy of those European stress tests. Is this a surprise to you?
Well, this is an old story because everybody thought that the European stress tests were a little fluffy to begin with. Ours was positively rigorous by comparison. Bottom line is they didn't allow for higher unemployment, sovereign debt default. Everybody knew that Germany was bankrolling the entire economic community there. How willing would they be continue on with it? Greece can't pay back their debt in 3 years when the bailout ends. That's $960 billion that they've already flushed down Europe already. Now, Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Ireland on the rest of the Club Med countries start to follow. They've got huge problems, so they're going to have to start really cranking up interest rates at this point for all those countries.
Well, you say ours were rigorous compared to theirs, but are ours in doubt now?
No, they really weren't. You know, bottom line is what we're looking at is it didn't allow for economic conditions that weren't going to recover. And my argument all the way along has been that we're not out of this recession by a long stretch. In fact, it would be an official double-dip recession if we saw sovereign debt default because their banking system would drag us back down again. So we haven't allowed for the probability that unemployment was going to get higher, and it is, that our asset base was going to continue to deteriorate, real estate is still going down. In other words, the recession is not over. We've got to batten down the hatches for round two.
And quickly, Julie, I mean, we've got the markets down today after several good days on Wall Street. It seemed like the recovery was back on track. Now, all of a sudden, this story in the Wall Street Journal, everything's going south again. Should we have some questions about the future of our recovery in the U.S.?
Well, this year-old market rally was really based only on one thing. There was no other place to put the money. The Fed had interest rates effectively at zero right now. There's little borrowing or lending going on. Real estate, you're lucky if you have a 10-year time horizon if you want to buy that. Gold at $1,200 an ounce. Commodities, only if you really believe vigorous growth is about to resume. So by default, stocks have been the place to put the money. But the traders have been moving it from sector to sector. It's quite volatile. That's where the money is, and the money will flow back out again. So it's not
okay.
A real rally.
Julie, thanks so much.
You bet.
Julie Nieman, an analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Well, President Obama is rolling out a number of new economic stimulus ideas this week. And meanwhile, his top economic advisor, Larry Summers, is in Beijing. Summers is trying to encourage China to strengthen its currency. But there are questions about just how much that will help revive the U.S. economy. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Between 2005 and 2008, China increased the value of its currency more than 20% against the dollar. There was hardly any impact on the U.S. economy. So why is Larry Summers in Beijing to try and convince the Chinese to appreciate its currency further?
This issue is completely unimportant to the economic future of the United States or the rest of the world.
China economist Andy Rothman says Summers' China trip is a sign the Obama administration is caving into pressure from Congress. Democrats are trying to pass legislation that would pressure China to appreciate its currency. Lawmakers and other economists say a more valuable yuan would revive U.S. manufacturing. Economist Rothman doesn't buy it.
The best that the Chinese government can do for the global recovery is to keep doing what they've been doing, winding down the huge stimulus that has worked and keep GDP growth on track for roughly 8 or 9% growth next year. That'll be a big help to everybody.
Rothman says more Chinese consumers mean more U.S. exports, and that's already happening. In the first 6 months of this year, U.S. exports to China increased 36%. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
Good news, fellow taxpayer. The company we own, AIG, is seeking approval to go public with its Asian insurance unit. AIG thinks it can raise $15 billion with an IPO. The company borrowed $180 billion from the U.S. government during the financial crisis, so even with an IPO, there would still be a bit of a tab. To Detroit now, where earlier this year, Mayor Dave Bing suggested moving some of the city's residents from blighted neighborhoods to other parts of the city. Detroit is trying to save money on services in areas that are largely abandoned. But the proposal didn't go over well with some residents. And now, as Sarah Hewlett reports from Michigan Radio, Mayor Bing is trying a different tack.
It's a kinder, gentler approach than Mayor Bing initially took. Back in February, he predicted there would be winners and losers as the city looked to scale back services like trash pickup and street maintenance to better align with Detroit's declining population. The city spends nearly $3 billion a year on municipal services, and Detroit is struggling to close an $85 million deficit. Bing's comments prompted an uproar over the prospect of forced relocations and drew comparisons in one of the city's newspapers to the treatment of Native Americans in the Trail of Tears. Bing now promises eminent domain is off the table. Marja Winters is the deputy director of Detroit's Planning and Development Department.
I think there's a large level of mistrust, and I think that we have to build credibility and we have to regain confidence and trust in government.
Winters will help oversee a 12 to 18 month process to come up with a strategic plan for how the city deals with major issues, including land use, housing, and transportation. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, a story kids may not want their parents to hear. A new study of students finds that exam scores for people who have Facebook running on their computer, even in the background, are about 20% lower than those who aren't using Facebook. Having said that, the authors of this study did not look into the effects of the Marketplace Facebook page. So until they do, remember that we are always happy to distract you online. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.